That was so very cool, adopting Anya Kinsley into the Mellor family for the worship set. There's something about a violin that just, I don't know, brings this sweetness, this sound that just kind of, everything is so nice. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, thank you for the worship that we've already had. We mean it, Lord. We have sincere hearts that just want to connect with you. And today, Lord, I ask that you speak through me, that the Holy Spirit do his wonderful work of incredible supernatural power so people can hear exactly what they need for this time. In Jesus' name I ask this, amen. Do you know what a Pop-Tart is? You wondered what is in the bag. Well, if the pastor goes along, I pack the lunch. No, I brought a box of, of Pop-Tarts. Now, how many of you eaten Pop-Tarts before? Oh, guilty pleasure seekers, you. They will never be accused of being health food. They're basically a dessert, I think. And it's a breakfast toaster pastry. And for those who are on, you know, like on the run going to work or school or whatever, these little babies are coming in a little package. And you just open the package of Pop-Tarts up. And they do come in the frosted version, but I have the healthy ones, the unfrosted ones. They happen to be blueberry. And what you do is you stick, there's two of them to a package, and you stick them in your toaster, not too long. You don't want to burn them. And when they come up, you can put butter on them or cream cheese or whatever to make them a little more calorie laden. Now, when I was growing up, my mom was really good about serving us nutritious food. I'll put these Pop-Tarts up. If any of you get too hungry, they'll be here. My mom was really good about serving nutritious food to my sister, Sharon, and myself. Usually we would have fruits and vegetables every day. And a typical breakfast in the Mellor household would be cooked cereal, cream of wheat. You know how you cook that whole wheat and it kind of turns into these round things? We would have that. Then we would have eggs and potatoes. And we would sometimes have wheat toast with peanut butter and applesauce over it. Those would be the characteristic Mellor breakfasts. My mom would not purchase sugared cereals for us. But on Sabbath mornings for breakfast, Ronnie and Sharon Mellor were allowed to eat Pop-Tarts. Now, you're saying, well, irresponsible of your mother to allow you to eat Pop-Tarts on Sabbath breakfast. But what my mom was trying to do is that she wanted to make Sabbaths special for us. And so once a week, on Sabbath mornings, we got to eat Pop-Tarts for breakfast before we went to Sabbath school and church. Sabbaths were special not only because I got to eat Pop-Tarts, but because of I got to invite friends over for Sabbath lunch after church. We could invite a friend and we would hang out and we would eat lunch together and then we would go on hikes and we would do do kind of fun things. And when I think of Sabbaths growing up as a teenager, I think of growing up in Napa, California, and I have nothing but good, warm, positive memories about Sabbaths as I was growing up. We continue our series, if we can get the picture up, be patient. We continue our series experiencing the benefit of the Sabbath. Experiencing the benefit of the Sabbath. And in this series, we've been looking at the Sabbath not from a point of view of trying to prove it biblically. There's a lot of information that can be done there, no problem. It's a slam dunk. But we've rather been looking at the Sabbath as a personal experience. Experiencing the benefit, the blessing, the good, the positive, the uplifting of the Sabbath for our practical everyday lives. Now, when you look at that, what do you see? I see eggs. What do you see? I always wonder what that is. It's coming. It's coming. Thank you, Shelley, for... Well, let me proceed and she'll catch up with us. Jesus said in Mark 2:27, and this is the New Living Translation rendering, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people." The Sabbath was given to meet the needs, to bless, to make good, to benefit people, us. And today we're going to look at what I think is one of the wonderful blessing benefits of the Sabbath. And that is the Sabbath as a day that gives incredible opportunities to rebuild relationships. Rebuild relationships. Now, when I think of relationships, I want to go way, way back. And I think of even before the world was created, the Godhead, the three triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, I think are a model of what a wonderful, tight, healthy, good relationship is all about. They work in concert. They work with each other. In fact, they are so close in their relationship that the Bible describes the triune God as three gods in one. Three in one. And together they describe the work and the relationship that the Godhead, the Trinity, has. They work together. And so in Genesis 1:26-27, we read this, New International Version. God said, now, when he said God, this is the Godhead. God said, let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let us make God in our image, in our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, created him. So, the Godhead is a model, a demonstration of what a good relationship is. They work together. They love each other. They are one. God created us as human beings to be relational because we are made in His image. And if God is a relational being and we are made in His image, then we are relational beings. And God in Genesis 2:18 said, "It is not good that a person be alone." And he was addressing the relational side of human beings. It is not good that human beings be alone. And he was proclaiming the way that we are wired. We are wired to want and desire and operate from a relational point of view. And it's a basic human need to be involved in relationships. We need and want to be with others. Now, speaking of relationships, on the very first sixth day of the week of creation, after God created Adam and Eve, He performed the very first marriage ceremony. God Himself. You think He had a license to do that? I think He did. At least, if He's God Almighty, He can do anything He wants. And He decided late on Friday afternoon, at least that's the way I see it in my mind's eye, that Adam and Eve were the last bits of the creation, the crowning work, if you please. And God stood before Adam and Eve after He introduced them to each other and said, "Now, I want to marry you." And He brought them together in a marriage union. And it's a text that some of us pastors use in wedding homilies from Genesis 2:24. This is what the New King James Version says. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." They shall become one flesh. Now, I think it's very significant. You think about it and you tell me what you think. But I think it's very significant that the two God-given institutions that go back to creation, the two God-given institutions that go back to creation are the Sabbath and marriage. The Sabbath and marriage. And I'd like to suggest that they are together. All right. Cool. Sabbath and marriage. Thank you, Shelley. Thank you so much. I love you. By the way, I did something really unique, I think about 12 years ago. I performed a wedding ceremony during a church service. Now, some of you are going, huh? I remember being, years before that, hearing a speaker or pastor talk. And he said, you know, weddings are to be a spiritual event. And if God performed a wedding service on the Sabbath, wouldn't it be cool to have a wedding service during a church service? And I kind of tucked that away in the back of my head. And one day, the opportunity presented itself. There was a couple who was coming to my church, and they came to me and said, "We want to get married, and we want you to officiate the service." And I said, "Okay." And they were just getting acquainted with the church. They were new coming to church there, and they were loving the fellowship that they were receiving in the church. And I said, "Well, here's an idea. You can throw it out the window and call me a crazy man if you want. You won't be the first person. But what about if we did your wedding service during the worship service?" And I said, "Is it legal to do that?" I said, "I don't think it's illegal." I worked very diligently and strategically to make this marriage ceremony a deeply spiritual event that was glorifying God and was done well. And it was an amazing experience that I don't think any one of us would forget. Jesus in Ephesians 5, 23 and 24, 22 and 23, says that there is a relationship. In fact, it's kind of a mirror. The way that Christ loves His church should be the way that a husband is dedicated and loves his wife. And so the relationship that Jesus has with His church is to be in some form emulated by us husbands as we love and care for our wives. And in my wedding homily, I spoke from Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. And I think people saw the relationship of marriage in a new light and their relationship with their church in a new light. And not only did I have vows for the couple, but I had vows for the church members. Because I told them, "You are married to Jesus Christ. And today in this service, I am going to ask you to make vows and to say, 'I do,' if you are willing." And anyway, it was an amazing experience. one that I've never done again, but it was an amazing experience to have a wedding service during a worship service. And why not? Because the first marriage took place on Sabbath. Now, getting back to our point, Sabbath and marriage and family were meant to kind of go together. And it was meant that way, designed that way, if you please, by God from the very beginning. And one of the important ideas behind the Sabbath was that it was to enhance, to benefit, to build up human relationships and our relationship with God as well, of course. And that very first Sabbath of that very first week, the seventh day, that first seventh day, was a day of rest in which Adam and Eve and God spent time in uninterrupted and unhurried time, just spending time with each other. Now, when we go to the Ten Commandments, we see the very same idea that comes into play. The Ten Commandments, specifically the fourth commandment of Exodus 28 through 11, is a memorial of creation. And the Sabbath is clearly linked to the deepening of relationships as well as the way it fits into the Ten Commandments. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. The Sabbath commandment is the fourth commandment. Commandments 1, 2, and 3 have to do with our relationship with God. Commandments 5 through 10 have to do with our relationship with one another. The Sabbath commandment, which comes in the middle, has to do with both our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. It's like the hinge, if you please, that the rest of the commandments fall on. It clearly has to do with our relationship with God and our relationship with humankind. Now, one of the great blessings of the Sabbath, and I hope we can all say that we have personally experienced this, is that it offers quality and quantity time to build better relationships with family and friends. And good Sabbath keeping, means nurturing our relationships with significant people in our lives. And the 24 hours of the seventh-day Sabbath offers relationship-building opportunities at the highest level. These relationships and fellowships and friendships may be blood family, church family, or friends or other significant people in our lives. And the seventh-day Sabbath, this 24-hour period, where we pull away from the week and treat it differently, offers us this incredible opportunity to reconnect with the special people in our lives. During the work week, during the school week, our busy lives can separate us from the significant people in our life, but on Sabbath, we can put the week behind us and treat it differently and have quantity and quality time to spend with special people. Now, it's clear from Scripture that God designed that a weekly time of nurturing fellowship take place in a corporate church gathering like we are enjoying today. And I really value my Sabbaths for this very dynamic. I get a charge out of visiting with many of you, as many as possible. I can't get everybody, but a number of people I am blessed to be able to talk to each Sabbath and to say, how's it going? And you tell me a little bit about what's going on in your life. And I value doing that. I feel closer to you, and I hope the feeling is vice versa. There's a Bible word that church members use that is describing the kind of friendships and relationships that they have. And the Bible word, it's a Greek word, it is pronounced koinonia. Koinonia. And koinonia has to do with a special fellowship, the special relationships that believers enjoy. And there are special benefits that believers have because we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that He died and rose. We believe that He's coming back again. And because we have these common beliefs, it knits our hearts closer in our relationship. Koinonia. If you want to see a picture of amazing koinonia, look at the early church. Here's just a small snippet of a verse from Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. Read that whole passage, verses 42 through 47, and it describes the early church, and you go, wow, what an amazing church. But at the basis, at the heart of what made their church so amazing was their love of God and their love of one another. This was the dynamic that took place. We sang about it just earlier. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. So if I could be so bold as to suggest that we all take full advantage of the relational opportunities that we have each and every Sabbath to build relationships and reconnect with people. That's why I love the greeting time that we do at the beginning. And I never take offense when some of you get yakking so much that I can hardly shut you down. I love it because it's a friendly sound, and I know this is the church, being the church, building relationships. Today we have a potluck, as has been pointed out, and look at this picture. You'll see some strangely familiar people. LaVon Adams is on the left there, and there's George and Diane Brody, and behind them, I don't know who that is, but it looks a lot, that girl looks a lot like this girl in the front row that's rescuing me in the tech department. That's Bill and Shelley Hammer. This happened to be taken at a Christmas potluck many, many years ago. You can see the greenery there and some of the decorations. But I know not everybody likes potlucks, and I know that some people say, I hate potlucks. Well, let me give it a new spin if you hate potlucks, because they are just fantastic opportunities that go well beyond the food. And we have incredible cooks here in this church, amen? We have incredible cooks in this church, and the food is unbelievable. But even as important, or maybe even more important, to the feasting on the food is the relationships and the interactions that we can have at these meals. And I just love the opportunity to do that. So get close to people when you come to church, even if you don't go to potluck. There are wonderful opportunities to catch people in hallways and somewhere, anywhere in the church, and say, how are you doing? And then just don't talk. God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. And we would build relationships a lot better if some of us would do less talking and thinking what we're going to say next. And just listen to other people. There's tremendous relational building in that very, very simple, simple thing to do. And so today we have an all-church potluck. And it's going to be great. And personally, I would go to these potlucks if all I had to eat was a dinner roll and two olives, because I just enjoy eating with people. I told you that when I grew up as a kid that we had lots of fruits and vegetables, and I am amazed how many kids today don't like green things. I mean, broccoli and spinach and that kind of thing, and forego salads. And when I'm at the hot lunch at our school, and I see how many kids either don't take any salad or don't want any, I'm going, what's up with that? Valerie, to humor me at potlucks, will often bring a salad. Because she knows if I have a salad, I'm a happy camper. I could have salad and be very, very happy. But whatever the food is at potluck, there's opportunities to get close to someone and to sit down with them and says, I don't know you very well. I'd like to hear about your life and the journey of your life. And because it's after church and we're not running off to anything, we have this uninterrupted, unhurried time that we can really get to know one each other, get one another. And so Sabbath becomes a time of building relationships. Now, if you are a parent of young children, and we were there once, it's a challenge sometimes to make the Sabbath a day that honors God's holy day, but yet is a day that is significant and even fun for kids. And I think to do that, it takes ingenuity, it takes creativity, it takes thinking outside of the box sometimes. But there are ways to pull it off for a family to go ahead and to make Sabbath meaningful. I told you my Pop-Tart story, and it may not have worked for everyone else, but it worked for my sister and myself. There's no easy way to pull off making Sabbath really meaningful. But all I can tell you, the advice I would give you as a parent who has kids who have left home, is to do the best that you can. Just do your best. Number two, don't be too dogmatic or rigid about Sabbath. I have classmates who aren't anywhere near to a church, and they have really bad feelings about the way that they were raised in a heavy-handed legalistic home. So don't be too rigid. Stand up for what's right. I'm not asking you not to do that, but don't be too dogmatic. Number three, emphasize what can be done on the Sabbath rather than focusing on what shouldn't be done. And if you make the list of what can be done, it's a huge, long, fun list. Make Sabbath a day for relational opportunities and make sure that your children, whatever happens, know that you love them no matter what. In his book, Finding New Meaning in Sabbath Rest, A Touch of Heaven, Greg Nelson calls the experience of rebuilding relationships on Sabbath incarnational Sabbath keeping. Incarnational Sabbath keeping. It has to do with being a presence. You know, we talk about the incarnation, and the Christmas story celebrates that when Jesus Christ, who was up in heaven, came down to us as a human baby. And so God dwelt among us, says John 1. He was with us. He was here with the people. And so create good Sabbath memories by just being with one another, whether it's at a potluck or in a hallway after a church or whatever, just to be a presence in someone's life can build relationships to a higher level. I have some really good Sabbath memories. I think I showed this picture a few weeks back. This is of myself with a worship team that I had a number of years ago. And Valerie and I have just wonderful memories of on Friday nights gathering together for our rehearsals, because we wanted to give God our best, and He deserves nothing but the best. Amen? And so we would get together on Friday nights and to try to make our music excellent. And You can see there's about 8 people there or whatever, and so it was quite an experience at pulling everyone together. And we would kind of come on Friday nights just dragging ourselves after a tough week. But we'd get together and we would touch each other's lives. We would ask how it's going, and we would support each other. And we would always, before we started the rehearsal, we would gather in this group circle with our arms around each other, and we would pray. And there was just something about praying together and being involved in a common goal of opening people's hearts so the Holy Spirit could talk to them on the next day. There was something about that just knit our hearts closer together. Even after the music experience was over, and after church was over, if there wasn't a potluck, we would sometimes end up just eating together because we enjoyed each other's company and we wanted to deepen relationships. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. One of the best blessings of the Sabbath, ladies and gentlemen, is the wonderful opportunity that it offers for us to rebuild and deepen relationships with significant people in our lives. So I pray that you and I take advantage of those opportunities and we make Sabbath a day that we grow closer to one another and for sure closer to God. Loving Father, thank you so much for the Sabbath. What a precious, precious gift it is. And Lord, help us to understand some of the deeper parts of the Sabbath and take full advantage of it. Lord, I pray for the parents of children who may be wondering, how do we best make Sabbath a day that is really meaningful, that kids really enjoy? Send your Spirit upon them to guide them, Lord. And it gets more challenging when kids get to be teenagers. But Lord, I know you're going to reveal some great ideas. Lord, we value being the church and the fellowship that we have in this church. And Lord, I pray that our relationships deepen, get stronger, get deeper. And I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. Amen.